Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on October 13th, 2020. Pleasure to have you here with us today, or perhaps you're listening on the archives. We archive every show over at our where we want to put them, which is ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our website for our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. And because Education Talk Radio is a part of our consortium, we figured instead of having a separate site, we'd put them together. So there's a big icon over at ace-ed.org, and you can always see what we're doing. We archive our shows over there. Scroll down, we'll have all our shows for the week, shows that ran last week. We change our schedule on Saturday, and there's also a further icon that will take you to shows all the way back to 2011. All at ace-ed.org, and that again is our American Consortium for Equity in Education. We are all about equity these days. Today we're going to have a lovely conversation with Dr. Sean Johnson down in South Carolina, in Manning, South Carolina, in Clarendon County. We're going to talk about what he's doing for STEM and also talk about the equity function down there. It's always a lot of fun to talk to the superintendents, the good superintendents all over the country, and I'm looking forward to this conversation with Dr. Johnson. Okay, it's going to be good. We want your voice. Like, we're going to have Dr. Johnson's voice today, part of our consortium. It's free to educators, ace-ed.org, and we have a great online journal over there, which is called Equity and Access, and I hope you take a minute and look through that, and once you start looking through it, believe me, you'll take more than a minute to go through the whole thing, all at ace-ed.org. All right. By the way, we tweet over at the EduTalk Radio, and we Facebook at my name, Larry Jacobs, and also at Education Talk Radio, and LinkedIn is my name, Larry Jacobs, and you can follow what we're doing here on any of those three things. Let me bring on Dr. Johnson, and also, since Discovery Education was kind enough to put this show together, I've got Anna Strassner here, who works down in South Carolina, okay, with Discovery. We're going to talk about all the wonderful things they're doing with STEM, but let me say hello to Dr. Johnson first. Hello, Sean.
It's Larry. How you doing?
Here. I'm good. How are you? I'm good.
I'm
How
great,
are you?
Man.
Yeah,
hey,
good.
Hey. Just doing the work.
Yeah, you got it. And I read your Manning is inland from Myrtle Beach, right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
not a bad place to live, I got to tell you.
I know. Is that like the Carolinas?
Yeah. Hot in the summer, but great the rest of the year, and I do love it down there. And I've been to Beaufort a couple of times, okay, down in that whole area, and I really like it down there. Anna, are you here?
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm coming to you today from Charlotte, just north of
North Carolina.
South Carolina.
Oh, well,
so,
good. I got a South. That's good. I got a South Carolinian and a North Carolinian. Sean, let me ask you the question, okay? Which one has the better barbecue?
South Carolina, of course.
Anna, you agree with that. Remember, I might add Sean as your client, but you live in North Carolina. I have a feeling you're going to be run out of town this afternoon. But what do you think? Who has the best barbecue, North or South Carolina?
Well,
Anna.
You know, I'm going to play that. I'm going to play that kind of the middle of the road. It depends on how you like your barbecue. But I will tell you, the South Carolina barbecue, it is darn worth the drive down there because if you like it a little bit more on the spicy side, then South Carolina is definitely the place.
And ladies and gentlemen, Anna will be putting her house up for sale later today. Just look for that. It's going to be a wonderful thing from North Carolina. That's great.
In all transparency, I truly could probably, if I had hit a really good drive, I could hit South Carolina from my house. So, you know, I'm not that far from the South Carolina line already.
Okay, good enough. Good enough. We'll let you off the hook, okay? We'll move on from barbecue. How's that? Good. Excellent. Okay. Sean, tell us about your district. I want to talk to you about all the wonderful things you're doing down there with STEM and how Discovery's helped you, okay? And they do this across the country. I work with a lot of great superintendents, thanks to my good friends over at Discovery. We talk about all the wonderful things with digital transition, and yours is one that's moving into a culture of STEM, but I want to hear what the district is like. Can you describe Clarendon County School District for us? And by the way, I noticed, I looked on the web, are there two school districts down there? in Clarendon County, or just one?
There are actually three. Two will consolidate July 1, but we will not be a part of that merger. But there are actually three in Clarendon County. We're Clarendon District 2. We have about 3,000 students, with about 69% minority. But it's a great community. I love this district in the sense that I have a good board and a good community. So anything that we need to do to help children and help the staff, this board never gets in the way. So that's the good part about it. So creating this culture of STEM, the board was 100% go, and they made the financial commitment for it too.
Yeah, God bless their hearts. I got to tell you, and that's the role of the school board, to look at policy, all right, and listen to their superintendent and the educators who are the experts in the field, and make the right decision according to the dollars you have, or create those dollars, etc. Congratulations to everybody down there for doing the right thing. I'm just curious, socioeconomically, people usually give me the free and reduced lunch number. Okay. How's Clarendon? How's your district?
We're about 80% free and reduced lunch. I mean, it's considered a high poverty area. But what we try to do is not focus on the poverty, but focus on the opportunity.
Exactly.
And so we try to give all of our kids the opportunities, just like any district what the well-to-do districts, the larger districts, we try to give all of our kids the same opportunities here.
Absolutely, and that's very, very well put, I got to tell you. And, this STEM thing, allows them to rise and understand where we're going in this high-tech world. I think that's incredibly important. So let's talk about that, okay? I'll start with you, Sean, then I'll swing over to Anna. Okay, where is STEM? Where have you started to do this? Is it elementary? Is it through all the grades, etc.? What are you doing, and why the emphasis on STEM?
What we've done.
School bell.
We made sure that when I came here about a year and a half ago.
Oh.
They had pockets of STEM mainly in the elementary, and so after a presentation from Cindy Moss and Anna, we just decided that if it's good for a pocket, it needs to be good for the entire district. And so
exactly.
we decided to do everybody K-12 in our district, and so that's why we were excited about Discovery Ed, because it allowed us to jump in head first and they walk us through, because we know that in this changing world that our kids need science, and then let them make their decisions on what they want to do with their careers and their life.
Absolutely, and I have to say something else. STEM is more than science and technology and engineering and math. Okay, you put those things together, and that is logic. All right, and that's logic,
right.
And that's logical thinking. All right, and I'm curious. Okay, because you had it in some of the elementary schools. How come they weren't doing it all the way through? What was going on? I mean, they really need this. God bless you for being there and making this happen. I love this. What was going on?
I don't know the long-term goal of the previous administration or that board. I didn't know their process, but what I did know is that if we're going to do it for some, we when we talk about equity,
I love that.
We got to quit saying that things they're good, but we only offer it to a certain select group. If it's good, then it needs to be good for everybody.
Yep.
And let students make their choices. And so I grew up in a smaller rural town than Manning. I was poor, and so I remember vividly in our school that we were only led to either go to 4-year college, the military, or you go to a job. But it was no technical education. It was none of of these wonderful careers that were presented to us. And I said to myself that I would never, ever do that to any other student. So my goal is to help every student to be successful, whatever success looks like for that student. But we want to be able to give them all of the opportunities.
That's exactly what equity is, making all those kids. Things. Anna, you want to say something? I can hear you back there. Anna, did you want
to
say something?
I need to brag on Sean for just a minute, because he's not going to tell all of the incredible leadership that he has brought to Clarendon. He has some amazing people working that he works with there, and they had started some pockets of STEM, but he came in immediately and recognized that's not enough. And I'll never forget our first meeting together. He just said, I don't want to talk about black kids or white kids or poor kids. He goes, I want to talk about all kids. One of my kids that comes into my schools every single day should be challenged, should have, and he said it that day, just as he said it today. He said, my kids deserve the same education as those more affluential districts, and I'm going to make that happen. And he said, we will not piecemeal it. We will make it right. We will do it for all. And that day when I met him, for me, it was all over then. I am so impressed
just beginning.
By Sean and his leadership. And they have an amazing group there. And quite honestly, with his leadership, they truly have all followed, including the community. The community
here,
is 100% behind this as well. So, yay.
Well
yay,
said.
Sean.
Well said, Anna. Really, that's beautiful. Okay, Sean, congratulations.
Well, you know, it has to be, you know, we got
to. It has to be. Yeah.
And you know, we got to move from saying we're for kids and actually doing it. You know, we got to get away from the cliches and actually do the work.
Hear.
So that's what we try to do is do the work, and then whatever happens, positive. You know, we measure our success by the success of those we serve, which is our students. So if they're successful, then we're successful. So
that's exactly right.
You know, that's how we look at it.
Yeah, and that is a wonderful philosophy. And I got to say something else. And we're going to talk about the curriculum, etc. All right, but we tend to make, if I may, prejudicial movements, okay? And we assume something, and that's wrong. I'm going to tell you what we assume. We assume that sometimes kids can't do it, all right? But I'm telling you, and you know this, okay? I'm sorry I fell over my own words there, but a rigorous curriculum, which is what you're actually starting to present to these kids, rises all boats, okay? And you are going to, like everybody, you are going to be amazed. We can't make the assumption, oh, these kids are poor, these kids are black, these kids are whatever, they can't do it. That's a load of doo-doo. Okay?
That's right.
Pardon my French there. You're going to be amazed, okay? You know, you're probably not going to be amazed at how well these kids do. When they're confronted with solid STEM, the rigorous curriculum will bring about the equity. You will see these kids rise to the occasion, and even better, you're going to see your teachers rise to the occasion. Okay? You're going to rise all boats. I love this district, Clarendon County, everybody, down in South Carolina. Okay, so I want to hear, okay, Anna, obviously you met Dr. Johnson. He said you gave a tremendous presentation down there. Tell us a little bit about that presentation that brought about this whole revival of STEM into the community.
Well, it really was more a conversation and looking at what their goals are and really marrying the resources that Discovery Education can provide to make those goals a reality. And it does. It's everything. And another one of my favorite quotes from Sean was, we will not piecemeal this together. You know, we're all in, head in. So with Clarendon 2, we are doing a robust professional development plan that touches all teachers in the district. We create leaders within their schools. And then they have already identified first followers and even second followers. and they're becoming the leaders of the movement, and that's what it is. It's a movement within their schools, and they're holding one another accountable for that, for their students. And then, again, you can't, you have to have the resources, and, you know, Sean was visionary enough, and he said, we're going all in with Discovery. And so they have, of course, our experience, which is for everyone and all of our tech books. And we started this work in January of this past year, and happened in March, you know?
Yeah, we know.
Guess what? They were prepared because they had the resources already in place. The teachers knew how to utilize those resources. And so when they went remote, when Clarendon 2 went remote, they had a plan in place. And I will tell you, even with the coronavirus and being remote in so many ways, that work and that focus has not stopped in that district.
I'll give you a big
again,
congratulations
I'm
on that.
The leadership. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
I mean,
the
you got
leadership there.
And, you know, we were talking about STEM. I can't believe I forgot about the COVID mess, all right, and the pandemic. I forgot about it. And, you know, the fact that you were able to get through that, because that is, it's just brutal everywhere. I just read the New York Times yesterday. In fact, they highlighted a district yesterday in the New York Times on the front page. I can't remember what district in South Carolina, okay, that they can't get laptops. Okay, they just can't get them. It wasn't yours, by the way, but it was some district in South Carolina. All right? And they just can't get laptops. They're trying, but all school districts now, like we were going after protection equipment, all school districts are battling for the amount of laptops we have. It's brutal. How'd you do with all that, Sean, with the remote learning? Let's just swing over there for 1 second.
Well, we were blessed in the sense that last year, at the beginning of the year, in July of 19, Clarendon had some schools that were one-to-one, and so we had some capital monies, and so we just decided to make every school one-to-one. So we did it ahead of time, and so the technology devices we are ordering now are just to either replace some older ones or to make sure that we are in position that if something happens, we have them on stock. So we were ahead of the curve. Ahead of COVID, per se, to have them. And so, believe it or not, we needed about, there were some that were older, and so my director of operations found some in Arkansas, West Memphis, Arkansas.
Wow.
And so he and I,
good old Arkansas.
The shipping would take too long. We drove to West Memphis, Arkansas, picked up the laptops and brought them back so that our kids can have them.
Good for you, man.
So we just wanted to make sure that. We'll let everybody else say what they say, but we just do the work. We really don't do things.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We just know kids need it. You know what I mean? We want to do whatever they need to do. I look at myself and where I came from. Again, I was poor, and if it wasn't for church and school, I wouldn't be in this situation. And so when I got into education and when I got into leadership, I said that whatever we have to do for kids, I'm going to do it, and I don't care how people feel about it, but as long as we're doing what's right for them, we will always do that.
You are a good man, Sean. I got to tell you, you and your team, I might add, they're just wonderful. And I'm going to say what I said at the beginning of the show. Please go over to you, Sean, and, of course, Anna, you were invited too. Go over to ace-ed.org, and please, you are exactly the kind of person we're looking for. That school district, join our consortium. It's all free for educators. We really want your voice for equity, ace-ed.org. It's just, you're exactly the person we're looking for, the great leader in equity and all that. I got to tell you, what you're doing over there is great. I love your trip to Arkansas story. I mean, that's saying something, I got to tell you. All right? I really got
to tell you. He gets it done.
He really gets it done. Thank you, Anna. You are absolutely right.
I mean,
Larry, I got to say, I mean, honestly, there are some good people in Manning. The team we have, they're go-getters, they're like-minded. And again, but it starts with our board, you know, because they just really – allow us to do what we think is best. I mean, really, I have no complaints from the board. And they make, when we need money, They listen to my rationale and they are okay with it. So I mean, superintendents get the credit or the blame, but really, I got a great team.
That's wonderful. I'll tell you something else. You can always remind the board this: the better the schools are, the higher the real estate values. Just always remember that. Okay. First question from anybody is: how are the schools? That's what determines real estate value. All right, so, you know, you're on the right track there. I got to tell you, it's just wonderful what's going on down there. So what you said before was that, and of course this is the case everywhere, okay, not every teacher comes on board right away. They like the idea, okay, but it's something newfangled. We got to figure out what this is. You mentioned the tech books. I know about the tech books from Discovery. Okay, Anna, what's the professional development like? I'm going to ask you because I know you're playing a part in that over at Discovery. Yeah, Anna.
Absolutely.
The STEM
professional
development.
Going back and looking at, again, how do we really create a movement? And that's what we looked at, a system, or we have built a system of professional learning that really looks at teachers' natural tendencies, too, of sharing and collaboration. And really moving that as a group to have more STEAM, as they call it there as well, more STEAM influence in the classroom, looking at the standards, but really building robust instructional opportunities that take it even deeper than just the standards themselves. I always equate it to, you know, learning the song of the water cycle and really looking at the Flint, Michigan water crisis and what are possible solutions. So you're going to get into the standards of the water cycle, but it's really taken it beyond that. And this group in Clarendon has really taken hold. And with this robust professional development, they have already started. We work side by side with them to create these lessons, and even deeper than just lessons, but really, like I said, instructional experiences that put students in a position to really look at problem solving. I mean, we talk about problem solving, and I always go back to talking to a ninth grade teacher once, and she said, "My kids do not know how to think critically. They ask me for the answers all the time." And she said she really felt it was because they had never been given the opportunity to have productive struggle, that they just give up so easily. So we really do look at what does it mean to have a productive struggle? What does it really mean to have a collaboration plan? We need our students. I mean, that's one of the biggest attributes that corporations are looking for right now and jobs are looking at. They want to know,
can
you think critically? Can you work together? But for many, many years, we didn't give our students that opportunity. So through this professional development, we're helping teachers to see the possibilities of all of the four C's in every single thing they do, whether they teach music or science or language arts, that all of this is intertwined. And at the end of the day, we really want to solve problems, and kids really want to solve problems. They will go through the work and the learning piece of it to get to that solution.
And, you know, I got to tell you something funny, Anna. Before you started to speak, I wrote down something that I wanted to cover right after you were done. I didn't know where you were going to go with that. And what I wrote down was, STEM is interdisciplinary. And that's exactly what you were talking about. Okay? That's exactly what you were saying. When you teach STEM, you're teaching logical thought that's going to expand into every other subject. And your use of the Flint water crisis was a perfect example. Because if you talk about the Flint water crisis, that's not just scientific. Okay? That's also, if I may, social studies and civics. Okay,
right.
If I may, you know, and one of the things, and Sean, actually talk, I was going to ask you, so Adam pretty much covered it, but I'll just ask you, I hope that all your teachers understand, and I'm sure they do, I'm going to let you go on this, that the STEM that you're doing is not just for the science teachers, it's not just for the math teachers, it's not just for the technical subject teachers, Okay? It's for every teacher. And, yeah, talk about that in terms of being interdisciplinary. Sean Johnson, Dr. Johnson.
Yeah, when we chose our teacher leaders and what we call the first followers in each school, we made sure we selected teachers from every discipline. So when we talk about making sure it's interdisciplinary, we purposely did that. We didn't choose all the science teachers or all the math teachers. We chose English teachers, social studies teachers,
wow,
PE teachers, and our junior high, the art teacher. We're really going full bore. And I've asked the board, you know, we have accountability. We have state testing. But I'll have to take the responsibility if scores drop, because I know this is best for kids, and that if we give it time, that our standardized testing will improve. Everything will, our culture will improve, our students' attitudes will improve, but I'm glad that our teachers, the majority of our teachers, they are on board. So we can improve teacher efficacy, then we're going to improve student outcomes.
You left somebody out. I'm curious about this from just what you're hearing. And again, by the way, are you remote now, or is everybody back at school? What's going on with that?
No, we in our state, we had to give options. So we had to give a virtual option, also an in-person option. But Clarendon has a 32% positivity rate here.
Ooh.
And so what we've done, so it's really high.
It's high.
And so what we've done is that we bring in 1/4 of our student population Monday through Thursday, so that's 1/4 of our students, and they come one day per week at this time. But what we did, we made sure that we didn't, you know how some districts are having virtual academies and all of that?
Yeah.
We didn't do that. We felt that wouldn't be fair, so our teachers are recording every day. So those students who are not coming in person are receiving the same instruction as those who are.
Right.
It's going pretty good now. But the majority of our kids are doing the virtual option. But we're going to increase it as our numbers come down. We're going to increase the days and allowing kids to come back.
Exactly, and the health, everybody's health comes first.
That's
okay,
right.
I talked to a lot of superintendents doing this show, okay, and just in the course of my work with the consortium, and everything we're doing about COVID is wrong, and everything we're doing is right. Okay, nobody knows what's right or wrong yet. It's all too new. We're all doing the best we can. So I say to every educator, pat yourself on the back. Whatever you're doing is just great. We're going to let it play out. We're going to see what happens. But you're exactly right. The health of the kids and your staff comes first, okay?
That's
too high. Yeah, that's too high a rate. I hope that goes down a lot, okay, because that's scary. So you're doing great. Congratulations to your teachers for adjusting to all this, too. It's really, really, really just amazing stuff, okay? So as we get through this, where are you now and where do you want to be? And obviously, your goals have changed a little bit because of, I guess they have, maybe I should ask that question, but with COVID and all, where are you now? Where do you want to be with the STEM? Sean.
Well, our goal, we with Discovery Ed, we have a 3-year plan where we'll be where STEM will be totally driving our whole curriculum.
Cool.
And so we are in year one, but it's going really, really well. In fact, a week or so ago, we had professional development. I logged in with the teachers to make sure. My directors have as well. So, I mean, we are on the road. They're integrating STEM every day throughout units and throughout the lesson plan. So it's going really, really, really well. And it just so happens that with this virtual option and the way we are, Discovery Ed is perfect for that. I mean, the virtual field trip, it is a match made in heaven. So if there are any other superintendents who are listening to us today, if you're not having Discovery Ed, there's something wrong with you. You need to have it because it fits perfectly in making sure that our kids can still explore and still have these opportunities as if we were not in this COVID situation.
Wow. Wow. Anna?
I'm thinking, thank you, Sean. But there's a lot of, where his district has really jumped in with both feet and, has led the way and helped teachers to understand how to utilize these incredible resources. And Discovery Education does have amazing resources.
It does. Yeah.
But they're amazing. But he's also put them and challenged his teachers to put them into context. It's content with context. So it's not about, and Sean will tell you, it's not about playing a virtual field trip. It's about playing that with a purpose behind it, about utilizing that to ask our students to think deeper, to explore more. And so, Sean and his team, and really, I wish I could name all his team because they are amazing. They work tirelessly to create these opportunities for their students in their community. And, they have a crackpot, just amazing curriculum team that are writing and helping develop these lessons and activities every single day.
Wow.
All throughout the summer and since January. So, they are utilizing amazing resources, but they're doing amazing things with it.
Well, you've summed it up. It's content in context. That's key, is context. Okay, and the fact that everybody's working so hard down in Clarendon, too. Well, I like that. I'm going to call it Clarendon, too. I feel like I fit in now. Yep. I call it Clarendon, too. Okay, I picked that up from you. All right, and, it's just, Sean, I got to tell you, where were you before, Sean? Obviously, you were not an alien dropped here from Earth into Manning, South Carolina. Where were you?
Well, I was superintendent down in the smallest school district in the state. It was Barnwell District number 19. It's in Barnwell County. It's called Blytheville Hilda, and it was the smallest district in the state. It is the smallest district in the state, and so. But I began as a principal in Georgetown County, but I spent most of my years as a principal in Dillon, and that's where.
Wow.
That's where things happen. It was in Dillon and in Georgetown that I really, really, when you come from these areas, because I've only worked in Title I schools and in Title I districts. And
bless
so,
you, man.
So my goal, is that if I had these opportunities, and they were limited, but now I'm blessed to be in this role where I can provide opportunities to all children. So this is my career, but I also look at it as a ministry because if we can change it,
yes, I can hear it in your voice.
Then we can say we made a difference. So that's our goal. Our goal is to how can we put, of course, we got to take care of the staff, but how can we take the staff, put the staff in positions to take care of the students? And if they can take care of the students, everything, again, my mom and dad, if you want to call it dysfunctional, I just call it a real loving but crazy family. But my mom and dad was really, really poor, and I was raised for the better part as an only child. I do have a brother and a sister. And so they tried. There were many days I didn't have lights, and we didn't have lights. I didn't have running water, hot and cold water, till I was in the sixth grade. And the house that we lived in initially up to that point was falling down around us. But my dad and my mom always made sure that was not an excuse, and that I had to wash in different things. But they made sure I was clean, had clean clothes, even though they were limited. And he never allowed me to make an excuse. And so we know the situations of our students. But that's not an excuse for those of us who are in position to make it better for them. And so that's why we do what we do.
Wow. I can't say much except this. Kids who you are teaching need to see people like you, people like themselves in so many cases. but certainly from the poverty. Okay, you're an African American gentleman, and the example that you set, okay, and what you have done speaks volumes even more eloquently than what you just said. I mean, it's just amazing. And congrats, Mom and Dad didn't do a bad job. I got to tell you, Sean.
No, they did the best they could.
Yeah, man, look at the job you and you're carrying their legacy over to not just one kid, but or three. They have three children, but all these kids. That's the legacy they gave you, and boy, it's just something else. And I got to tell you, that's really saying something. I'm going to be in touch because I want to talk to you more about what we're doing with our equity stuff. It's just so.
I'm going to
talk to you because you are really something, and Anna, I think you think he's something too, huh?
You know I do. Yeah.
Wow.
He is truly inspiring, and, you know,
he is
to drive our work every day. And, you know, we need these kinds of conversations. And quite honestly, Sean has been an amazing teacher to me. He and I had, from the very beginning, we set our ground rule was nothing is off limits. As far as what we talk about, because that's how we learn, and that's what he said. He said, ask me questions. Ask me, and that's how he leads. It's truly about, let's talk about it. There's nothing that we need to hide from. We need to talk about it. We need to address it right off. And so for that, I am so appreciative of him because he's really developed not only in his own community, but even within me, and I'm trying to take that other places as well, is that we have to have these honest conversations, even when they're uncomfortable, right? And really look at those head on. And this is what's been driving his work forever, for as long as he has been in education and even prior, probably before, but just an amazing individual to have for our community, the Discovery Education community. We're learning from him. I know
that's
that
right.
You know of our equity talk series.
Oh, I know.
This is one of the drivers from that, or conversations that I had with Sean almost a year ago.
It's just astounding, and Anna, you know, one of the things we got to go in a couple of minutes, but one of the things we're trying to do with the consortium, you guys are kind of living this. A lot of times, when an educator meets someone from the industry, it's in a sales situation, but the industry has a lot to offer, like people like you, I might add. Okay, and when educators and the industry get together without the sales situation, it's amazing when they start talking together what pops out of that, okay? And that's what we're trying to do with the consortium, okay, is create that place so that we can push equity forward for everybody. What you're both doing, I congratulate you both. You're two great people. And let's say both barbecues, North and South Carolina, are equally excellent. We'll end it at that, okay?
Hey, Larry.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Larry.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to say this. You know, God is so good to me, and I just want to be good for other people. We got to do something while we're living to always make sure that we return the favor to Him for being good to us.
You do that every day, my friend.
Oh, like
I don't know you, but I know you now, and I hear you in your voice. I mean, you do that every day. Just put your head in the pillow and sleep well at night, my friend. All right, we will be talking. Okay.
Okay.
Anna, thank you. And Sean, what more can I say? You guys said it all. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us today.
My pleasure. Leave me my pleasure. Thank you both. Stay safe, please. Please stay safe.
Yes.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, I guess enough said there. I can't say more than they did so eloquently. Okay. That's Clarendon County School District, South Carolina. Or as I like to call it, Clarendon 2. Okay, we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Anna. Thanks to my good friend Steve Wakefield, who helped me put the show together over at Discovery. And, wow, that was a good one. I got to tell you, great educators out there. Great people in education out there. All right, thank you for listening. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And please, like I said to Sean and Anna, stay safe.